Yeah. We could. You want to light them? Actually, I'm going to blow them out. There we go. Some people are more disappointed than others. What's that? That's okay. We'll have to depend upon the Holy Spirit this morning. Who's got a King James Bible with them this morning? Oh, good, good. And in fact, New King James. Who's got the? That's. I probably should ask these questions. Who else had a King James? The Arabic. So, I was thinking of the first resort. Yeah, let's Nader, stand and read John 3:16 out of your Bible, or if you know it without. Yeah, I want out of the Arabic. Yes. I like that.
I think I know King James by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah. That sounds just right. Good. Good. Thank you. We may do a little bit more of that. There's something about, you know, we get so Americanized, don't we? And obviously we're Americans, but there's something about worshiping and in different languages, and hearing the scripture in different languages. And so, Lord, this morning we are declaring our dependence upon the language of your word, Lord, the language of love, the language of your spirit. And we are asking you, Lord Jesus, to breathe on us by your spirit. Lord, we take for granted your inworking in our lives. But God, we are desperate for your continual moving and hovering and caring and intervening and working in our lives. Lord, by your Spirit, would you speak to us this morning through your word and touch our lives, change our lives. Lord, we want to look a little bit more like you. And that's really to say we really want to look a lot more like you, knowing that it takes place in increments. Lord, let us take a big step this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we'll save the. In fact, Mary, you got your Bible open. You can open to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to have you read a little bit later, but first I want to announce how apropos, given the plans that I had in mind. I had some good plans in mind this morning. You didn't. Enjoyed it. The gift, we've been kind of following this theme these last few weeks, the gift that I want to begin with, though it won't be the gift that we'll really focus on this morning, but the gift that I wanted to begin with was the gift of problems. So I had to smile just a little bit when I think about the problems that we're having to And But would you agree with this statement? Problems may only be avoided by exercising good judgment. The statement isn't complete. So let me read it again. Problems may only be avoided by exercising good judgment. Good judgment may only be gained by experiencing life's problems. Yeah. So I want to talk just, like I said, briefly about what I'm referring to as the gift of problems. What do you think? Problems, gift? Are problems a gift or a curse? Yeah. One might say, well, I guess both. Or perhaps both. But I want to read just a couple of short paragraphs in the book that I've been kind of referring to a couple of times during these last few weeks. The whole idea is to convey and communicate that there's really more valuable things in life than just money and things, and so the author is conveying that there are some real important things to be gleaned and learned that just help not only in when they have wealth, but to experience some of the more important things of life. And so we've looked at the gift of giving last week, and the gift of laughter and those kinds of things. By the way, are you laughing as you ought? Trying? Me too. I had another opportunity. My wife and I had another opportunity to laugh a little bit this last week and failed miserably. At least I did. In fact, it was before the adult party. So we're, as you can imagine, kind of scurrying about and trying to get things, last-minute details taken care of. And Karen thought she would go down to the post office just before she came home and got ready and would come down and kind of prepare the hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And so the car had been sitting all day, and she thought, well, while I was in the she was in the post office, knowing that it would be a line and take a while, she grabbed my set of keys so that when she went in, she could leave the car running but locked. Good idea. Makes sense. I'm saying this to convince myself. And so she comes out and used my keys to unlock the car, only to find out that my keys weren't unlocking the car. Apparently, that's when we have those electronic door unlockers. Well, you think, okay, well, if that doesn't work, and of course it had worked all along, but use the key. For some reason, we discovered we have an ignition key, but the door key and the trunk key is a different key, which we never got when we bought the car. We know it now. So Karen calls me, and I come skipping down. I'll tell you my version. As Dave sees it. Now, Dave was not laughing, and Dave was trying to not say the wrong thing, and probably not succeeding. but I, so we sat, we both kind of sat, and Mike, I drove down, and we're kind of sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh, the police station, they bailed us out once before. And so I called the Carol down at the police station and said, hey, do the guys still carry those Slim Jims around? And yeah, I think she put me in through one of the officers, and he, of course, graciously came down, and within about 2 minutes, he had the, it wasn't a Slim Jim, they have a, I won't take the time to tell you what they use, but it was pretty sophisticated, and it worked quick, and suffice it to say, the party went without a hitch. But, you know, it's those anxious moments, and you think later, you know, that would be a great time to just sit there and look at each other and just say, you know, you've got to be kidding. The timing, just try to think about some of the things. We got a party where we've not only got to attend, we're kind of hosting, and there are some things that we don't have time to do if things went right, and so we laughed a little bit afterwards, but it's just those kinds of things that happen all the time, opportunities to... So I'm kind of striking out here. I had an opportunity earlier, a couple weeks earlier, and I think I told you about emailing Karen saying I missed another opportunity to laugh. So I'm not really praying for more opportunities, nor should you pray for me in that regard. But we did look at each other and agree that we're making it a New Year's resolution to learn to laugh more. And at some of these goofy things that just happen, and you really, it certainly doesn't do any good to cry or to accuse or blame, and yeah, and I, so we're gonna look about trying to get a door key too. I did get the battery placed in my thing yesterday, so that's anyhow. Back to the message at hand. Let me just read a little bit about what the definition or what the idea was. I'm getting a little closer to the light here. I forgot my glasses this morning. So life is full of many contradictions. In fact, the longer you live, the more the reality of life will seem like one great paradox, which is kind of what we, as we read the quote there earlier. But if you live long enough and search hard enough, you will find a miraculous order to the confusion. Each of the lessons that this grandfather is trying to teach as a part of the ultimate gift I'm leaving you through my will are generally learned as people go through their lives facing struggles and problems. Any challenge that does not defeat us ultimately strengthens us, which is kind of what you said, Chris. Then one last little paragraph. If we are not allowed to deal with small problems, we will be destroyed by slightly larger ones. When we come to understand this, we live our lives not avoiding problems, but welcoming them as challenges that will strengthen us so that we can be victorious in the future. So I like those statements. I just thought those are good things to chew on as we consider embracing. I mean, how many of you are looking forward to Christmas morning opening up a gift of problems? No thanks. I just had a bar of soap. We don't really, I mean, it's welcoming problems. Again, that's just a bit of an oxymoron or something. There's just something, welcoming problems. I don't know that we'll ever really come on in. I've been waiting for you. You know, we don't really have that approach to problems generally. And yet, we recognize that there is value in embracing and realizing that problems do have impact in our lives as we allow God to work through those things and strengthen us and deepen us. And that's why he said to Peter, he says, Satan is asked to sift you like wheat. That sounds like a pretty big problem or problems. And Jesus didn't say, but I'm going to run interference for you and I'm going to prevent him from giving you a hard time. I would have liked to hear him say that, honestly. I would have liked to have him say that to me. Not to worry, Dave, just know that you can just go full bore and I'm going to run interference, not a problem coming your way. But what he did say is, I'm going to pray for you, Peter, that your faith gets stronger. And so the idea we recognize is that God uses those things, those difficulties, not to see how much we take before we pop, but rather to strengthen us and to deepen our faith, which is essential. Our faith just is not going to get stronger unless it's challenged. It's just like working out. You just don't develop muscles or strengths or character or any of those things. You if you're a musician, you don't just sit down and just naturally start. Well, there are some product. I mean, there's it has happened, but by and large, the average person must practice and practice and practice and practice. And it's the same with regard to our faith. We need, unfortunately, lots of practice. So if you haven't begun to think along this line already, that's really the gift that I'm asking God to give all of us. Certainly not just this season, but that during the season that we could receive additional gifting, additional gift of faith. And it's that I wanted to read the word via one of the scenes out of the Nativity. It virtually was reading the scripture there out of Luke 1. So Mary, if you would read the beginning at the 26th verse of Luke chapter 1 through verse 38. That's okay. Said nothing twice, right? In fact, you can say it again. In fact, let's all say it together. Nothing is impossible with God. And then perhaps, you know, equally as important, the line in there in the last verse, that be it, and I just think the of course the King James grabs the Greek of it, is why I want the King James as well, but be it unto me according to thy word. And let's say that together. Be it unto me according to thy word. That statement is just an incredible statement. Be it unto me. Well, I don't have a clue how you're going to do this. I have a suspicion, this, not just a suspicion, I have at least a bit of a foretaste, knowing that there'll be much more of the taste of reality, that this is going to bring about many problems, much complication, to say the least. You know, she is, the video would probably be a shorter version too, because I am totally amazed, just once again, at the faith of Mary, and ultimately the faith of Mary and Joseph. You know, to exactly, and realizing that the need, you know, for faith to follow God, the need for faith to take God at His word. And there's really, you know, no greater need. It takes faith. Faith is the basis of our relationship with God. It's all by faith. And God, and as Kent just masterfully shared with us just a month ago or so, the very practical, the very pragmatic applications of faith, and the fact that it's something that if we see it, it really, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it really ceases to be faith then, because it's realized. It's something that we have. It's not something hoped for. It's something we're going to get. It's not something we don't see. It's something we have. Therefore, there's the faith is no longer. But in our relationship with God, it's always faith. Everything is by faith. There are some things that become reality, some things that we hope for. It's not that nothing we ever, not that the promises are always hoped and we never see them fulfilled, and it's all about sometime in the future. It's not that that's the case. It's just that it's our relationship is not based on sight. It's not based on what we see in the natural. It's what God's word says, and what truth is exercised regardless of what we see. Amen? So faith is simply taking God at His word. Yes? Faith is believing what God says will happen. That's what Mary, she's, oh, wow. I mean, and each one of us, I mean, we just can't, how are you going to do that? How are you going to, and there's the whole, not just the virgin part of it, the fact that she was a virgin, but God, baby, how, what? It's just beyond comprehension. But faith, as the writer of the Hebrews says, it's being sure of what is hoped for, and it's certain of what is not seen. And that, boy, that quotes so well. Faith, what's faith? Well, faith is being sure of what I'm hoping for and certain of what I cannot see. The teacher says, well done, good answer. You may sit down. You know, it's not that we just want to have the right answer. It's we want to have the right understanding and a grasp of what faith really is. faith, and now don't stone me yet before when I say this. Faith is not the absence of doubt necessarily. Did Mary and Joseph have doubts? Oh, I'm sure all along the way, you know, like, what have we, and what about, and, you know, just all of the details, especially, right, you know, going to Bethlehem when she's ready to deliver a child, where will, you know, what hospital will I get to check into, you know, and will they take our insurance card, and, yeah, will they, all those details, let alone, I mean, and I'm thinking as I'm watching, Karen and I sat down and watched the Nativity last night again, and you know, just the wonderment, not just where, but who. You know, was there a midwife that they can, you know, that they can stop by and hire at the last minute? I mean, it's all those details. And so it's, faith isn't necessarily the absence of doubt, but in the face of those doubts, still choosing to believe, still choosing to trust, still choosing to hope, still choosing to obey. Now that's faith. And that's what God not only desires, really wants to give us, really wants to develop in us and strengthen in us. So faith is, you know, taking that stand. I will trust in you. I can't see, I can't comprehend, I can't understand, I'm not even sure I want to, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to wait. Be it unto me according to your word. You know, and bit, maybe a bit of bracing, but then realizing maybe it's not as painful as I think it's going to be. Maybe it's more painful than I thought it would ever be. I think it's both. It's not that it's easy. And that's the rub, because we kind of want it both ways. I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a woman of faith, a person of faith. But and I'll pray this often, but Lord, take it easy. I don't, I'm probably the only one who prays things like that, but but faith is like Mary, yielding to the Holy Spirit, and knowing that she would, as she began to think through this, that much misunderstanding, a loss of reputation, and the shame that would, you know, that would go along with it. And I thought that the how many of you seen the Nativity? Let me just ask that. A number of you. You know, there's a scene in there that I just thought would be, you know, really fitting. It gave you the looks. You know, it's one of those things where you can imagine. In fact, let me just back up a second. You know, there's so many details as you read through the familiar Christmas story that I would just like to know a little bit more about. I mean, I'd like to know, just what did Mary look like? What, how old was she? You know, and where did she live? And her family, you know, just her wealth, her education, friends, just a lot of those things that it would be just interesting to know some of those things. I'll bet Mary was not as, this is just me, all right? Just my opinion, but I'll bet she wasn't a knockout, beautiful. I'll bet she was just ordinary, I guess is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if you were to look around, you know, all the ladies that it could be, we probably wouldn't pick her as the one that she, here's just this. In fact, this is so often the definition of who God uses, is just ordinary people to do extraordinary things, really. And that's why, that's an encouragement to me. And to most of you are already extraordinary. So but for the ordinary ones of you, like me, what's that? Right. It's just going to happen. Because God is, that's really what, he doesn't get as much glory if he chooses the gifted, the talented, the, you know, just, some, he wants to choose, that's why he chose David. That's why he chose Joseph. That's why he chose Mary. And he looks for almost the least of which so that he can show that it really is just God. It's all God. And so that's what he wants, and those are the things that strengthen our faith when he uses the likes of you and me. And so here's the picture of Mary coming back from visiting Elizabeth. She'd been with Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist. Here comes Mary back into town. I don't know that it was quite like the movie portrayed, you know, immediately recognizing that she's pregnant, but it was for the movie's sake, it was okay to realize right away, and people immediately their joy of Mary, you're back to Mary, you're pregnant. Joseph? I mean, that's what the father immediately just looks at Joseph like, Joseph? and understandably so. I mean, that would be just a natural, it wasn't necessarily right, but it was a natural response. And then the mom and dad talking with Mary in private. What did you do? How could you do this? Mary. I mean, just experience the grief, you know, the joy of her in her betrothal. She's in essence already married, but they don't live together or have sex together until the 1 year period that goes by. You're wrecking everything. What are you doing? And then what about Joseph? You know, he's in the background. What about Joseph? Think about him. He's a good man. You think about somebody besides yourself. What are you thinking? And just the looks by the friends and the neighbors, and just the shame that came with that. And then the private conversation that she would have with Joseph. And the disappointment. Mary, the very reason I chose you. This could have been what he said. It's not in the scripture, but the very reason I chose you is you are a woman of virtue. And just seeing the obvious disappointment, and yet how could you defend yourself? How could you? Well, you see, I mean, even though that she's telling that to her mom and dad, it's just not believable. It is not believable. It's not believable to her, let alone to others. And so, experiencing this disappointment, the plans of being married to Joseph and starting the beginning of her life together, and then seeing that possibly just crumbling away. In fact, not possibly, it did. It crumbled away. And finally, Joseph says, well, you know, I'm not going to make a federal case about this, and I'll spare your life and probably the life of the unborn child. I'll just divorce you quietly. And then you can just see him just walking away and just heartbroken, and her heartbroken. We can't comprehend. God, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Why would you play with people's lives like that? Why do you have to do things like that? Am I the only one that asks those questions? And I didn't even, and who of us could ever could ever claim that we would experience something like Mary and Joseph experienced. What we experience is just minuscule by comparison. In most cases, not all of us, but in most cases, in many cases. Regardless, it's relative, isn't it? It's relative. But the point is, God doesn't set us up just to make things difficult for us, just to watch us squirm. God has great purpose. I'll tell you one thing. Mary and Joseph became faithful people. I mean, it took faith to begin with, but think about their faith after the fact. And how deep their faith, you know, was developed and strengthened. Well, just a couple of verses that I want to leave you with. There's a verse hidden in Acts chapter 14. And I say hidden because I have a hard time finding it every time I look for it. But I remember it being there. But it's just not one that I am all that thrilled about. It's kind of like the James 1:2 that says, "Rejoice, my brothers and sisters, when you face many difficult," paraphrasing a bit, but very little, "when you face difficulties and trials of many kinds, because you know that the trying of your faith strengthens you." But here, this is the verse out of Acts 14, verse 22. You'll want to write that down. 14, 22. You have it what? You have it underlined? Well, read it right out.
At the very end of verse 22?
Yes.
Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Here's what I have underlined. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God.
Isn't that a promise that you want to memorize and hang your hat on? We must go through many hardships in order to enter the kingdom of God. Let's say that together. We must through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And everybody said, joy. But it's true. It's like the two go in. Nothing is impossible with God. Yes. Boy, that sounds good, and we can believe and hope for the impossible because we know that nothing is impossible with God. But it doesn't mean the absence of problems. It doesn't mean the absence of hardships or the absence of difficulties or the absence of pain or the absence of doubt. But what it does mean is that in the face of those hardships and those difficulties and the things that we face, is that we can still stand on God's word, that it is true, and it never, God's word never lies. God's never late, but God's timing is always different than ours. And so when we say, "Lord, be it unto me according to your word," saying that with the faith, the kind of active faith that Mary and Joseph demonstrated. "Lord, I don't understand. In fact, I really don't understand." and I realize that this could cost. This standing on your word could cost, taking you at your word, could cost my reputation. My image. What would people think? And it's one thing to say, "Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I fear you. Lord, you know I care more about what you think than what others think. But don't ask me to do that." What will they think? And God says, what about what I think? What about what I want? Do you love me more than these? Why do I have to answer that? Why? And that's always my questions. Why? How come? And God says, I want you to develop. I want you to be like what Peter learned. Peter had the same difficulties. But because you said so, but because you say so, I'll go ahead and do what you say. I know that's going to cost. In fact, it's going to cost more than I can imagine. Yeah. But because you say so. So this season, this Christmas season, receive the gift of faith that God has for you. And let it be said, not just something that you say reciting the memory verse, be it unto me according to your word, but, oh God, by your Spirit, have your way in my life. And by your word, the rhema, you know, the word of Scripture that I need for what I'm facing right now. And you know what? It forces you to be in the Word. You know, we embrace the Bible, but when you need to hear from God, there's nothing that gets you right into the, you know, flipping through the pages and just digging and digging until you hear the Word that God has for you that is just what you need for what you're facing. And sometimes it's not just, okay, what? I'm listening. Shh, 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 shh. What's that? Lord, I can't hear. And it's just silent. God, I'm listening. Speak. I need to hear from you. God says, I've already spoken. Get into my word. And sometimes it's just like mining, you know, and getting out your little spelunking and digging and searching and finding the word and letting it be known. It's not that we have to earn our words. It's not earned, but sometimes I think we just expect it to just come floating out of heaven instead of God wants us to be a person of the word where we're digging into his word and that he just kind of drops stuff because we just happen to pass that way rather than wait till we're desperate. Now, when we're desperate, don't, you know, that's a time to certainly dig in, but recognize that God speaks, but by his word. And how many times have you read the scripture where it something just jumps off? I mean, it's almost like neon lights. But you got to be in the word to get the word. You got to be in the logos to get the rhema. Lord, thank you that it really is a simple thing, having a relationship with you, and yet nothing costs more and demands more, Lord, because you want our lives. And so it's not complicated in that we don't have to jump through a lot of hoops to have a relationship with you. We just have to really jump through one. And let it be clear that our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. Our belief is in you. Our assurance is in you. God, I pray this morning that you would strengthen our faith. God, that you would make us people of your word, and that when we hear you speaking, hear your leading, that we would take you at your word, Lord, and trust you to accomplish and fulfill it and not depend upon our own strength and our own wisdom and our own workings. God, that we would not, in the face of difficulties and doubts and fears, we see circumstances just the opposite, that we wouldn't let those deter us. But Lord, even in the face of those, not so much denying their existence, but even all the more with all the more determination and strength to stand and say, God, I will wait for you. I will hope in you. I will rejoice in you. I will trust in you. I will depend upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you that, that nothing is impossible. Lord, thank you that even though sometimes things are meant for evil, intentionally meant for evil or for harm, but Lord, somehow you turn those things into good. You are the great Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, it's not our reputation that's really all that important. Lord, thank you that it's really all about you. This Christmas season, Lord, let it be our resolve that not just the season would be about you, but that our lives would be about you.
Yes.
Now we just pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
How about we stand up?
I'm forgiven. You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love.
That I want to speak on you this morning. May God strengthen our faith to say, be it unto me according to your word. And that our response would be like Mary's. Oh, my soul magnifies you, O Lord. I will give you praise. Lord, thank you for your word in our hearts.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Good to see all of you. Blessings on you all.
hearts glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry.
Nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
In Bethlehem, in Jewry, this blessed babe was born and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn, the which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn.
Oh, tidings of comfort. Joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
From God our heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glory.
their children's fate. If they, like them, could die. Faith of our Father.